I wish you could just shut your big yapper!
What you just said is one of the most insanely idiotic things I have ever heard. At no point in your rambling, incoherent response were you even close to anything that could be considered a rational thought. Everyone in this room is now dumber for having listened to it. I award you no points, and may God have mercy on your soul.
VolNation.com. Coming to you live, I'm Jay Hizzy.
I'm Larkin.
And this is Get Involved, a little internet broadcast we're going to bring to you every week, hopefully. This may be the only edition we ever do, but we're going to do this one and see how it goes.
Give us a chance, guys. This is one of the things where I think everybody knows it's getting into this kind of thing. You don't really know what to expect, so just give us a little bit of time. I think we're going to improve with every week. Should have worked out all the technical difficulties at this point.
So. Well, I promise you after this show you'll be going, you know, I might as well listen again because these guys can't possibly be any worse. So, right. You know.
Going back to that sound clip, I mean, hopefully we won't make anybody dumber than they were before they started the show. So,
with that, we'll get the show started. Going to talk a little Tennessee football, basketball.
Well, what is this recruiting show about? I'm Jay Hizzy. I'm confused. I'm the listener out here. What is this show about?
That's a good question. It's going to be about, I guess, whatever comes out of our...
Don't say alleged minds. Don't say alleged minds.
I won't say it.
Yeah, this show hopefully won't be a complete and total disaster. But once again, hey, this is a sports show. VolNation.com. Obviously, everything that we do is going to be revolved around something related to UT Sports, the school that we love and follow and are passionate about. And we know that you are too. If you're downloading this podcast, that probably be the only reason why you would download it. And so what's the score of the Dallas game there, Jay Hizzy?
It looks like 7-7. Looks like your Cowboys came back. So
yes.
Anyway, those of you who haven't turned us off already, we're going to get into some quick hits about the week, talk a little about football, a little recap of the Memphis game. Larkin, you want to get us started?
Yeah, why don't we talk about you know, some of the quick hits, I guess. Number one, Ainge benched again. Of course, that show, the football game on Saturday was on pay-per-view, so not everybody got to see it.
I did.
I didn't, actually.
Pay-per-view broadcast sucked.
I didn't. Yeah, the pay-per-view always is an incredible broadcast, and they always have the top-notch announcers, also, I noticed. Ainge, 1-for-3. Yeah, how about that? Ainge, 1-for-3. One interception, almost two. In fact, probably his worst outing of the year. I stand corrected, Jay Hizzy. I said at the beginning of the year that Ainge would come in one of these games and win a ball game for us, maybe two or three. And be honest, he hadn't done anything this year.
Well, I'm not surprised because you're usually wrong, but good point. I mean, he you know, it was bad. I mean, and the fact that he was out after.
I am smart.
The fact that he was out after three series, I mean, it was ugly. For those of you that saw it, I mean, it was brutal. I mean, literally brutal. I mean, the passes, he just had no clue. I'm not sure why they were rolling him out on a couple of those early passes. You'd think maybe get a little confidence. I mean, they're not doing a whole lot to get the guy any confidence. I mean, where's the screen passes and the passes to the backs? Let's get him in a rhythm, you know. But anyway.
So many threads have started on VolNation.com about who's better, Clawson or Ainge. In fact.
And about who's going to be the starter next year. We've already started the Ainge Crompton polls. I guess we're going to have to deal with that for the next 10 months.
Yeah, I really enjoy the VolNation posters that say Crompton is our man. When, first of all, the guy's had off-season shoulder surgery on his throwing arm. And he's never thrown a pass. In fact, with all of what I saw in his recruiting tapes, I didn't see a whole lot of passing going on, a lot of running. And I don't think the guy is fragile by any means. I mean, he certainly is tough and can run. But, I mean, it's yet to be seen whether or not he's going to be the man come next year. Speaking of quarterbacks, how about Brent Schaefer in the news? I saw the very interesting article. What is it? The Visalia Times? What is that?
Never heard of it.
Never heard of it. He's out in California. Of course, you know, Brent Schaefer's on talking about, you know, saying that it wasn't really a mutual decision for him to leave, which, you know, hey, here's a little cheese to go with your wine.
I didn't even see that. I just saw where he said that if he was on the team, we'd be winning right now.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Well,
was that the same article?
Yeah, it is. And what I like is the fact that the article stated that that they are looking to, and he's in California, that they're looking to go for the state championship. The state championship.
They lost.
Yeah, how about that? The state championship. Not the national championship, but the state. I thought that was quite interesting. But it's
he'll
a little
be back
bit,
in the SEC next year.
It's a little bit different to throw against JUCO defensive backs in the state of California. Not the nation, just in the state of California. And have success. That's not the SEC. That's not even the Conference USA. So,
well, and bottom line is, I don't think anybody was arguing that Brent Schaefer wasn't a talented kid who had some potential.
Yeah.
Bottom line, he, you know.
Hey, Brent Schaefer.
Couldn't stay out of trouble.
You could just shut your big yapper.
That's right. Just keep it shut there, Schaefer. Enjoy not going to Florida, because he isn't going to go to Florida.
I wonder if he's going to class out there.
Doubt it.
Probably not.
Doubt it. I wonder if he's smoking any of the ganja out there.
No comment.
Yeah, no comment on that, huh? Let's see. Another quick hit. Is there any question that Cutcliffe's going to be our offensive coordinator next year?
No. Next topic.
Okay. Top 10 signing class by the Vols. Basketball. Hey, listen. I don't know about you there, Mr. Hizzle, but...
Hizzy.
Oh, I'm sorry. I think Bruce Pearl has done an excellent start. I don't think we're going to be great this year. In fact, we've talked a little bit about that. We are probably going to get blown out of the house a few times, but he has definitely brought some excitement, and it doesn't hurt to have a top 10 recruiting class first year in.
No, great recruiting class. I think it started with Marcus Johnson and ended with Tab there the day before signing day, but Duke Cruz was a huge pickup. I think him and Chisholm are going to be some special players that can dominate in the SEC.
You probably couldn't have pulled a pin out of Pearl's butt on Friday when he hadn't signed and actually moved that back a day.
Yeah, I don't know how worried they were about that. I know some of the fans got concerned when he didn't sign on Thursday, but I understand that was kind of planned that way along so his mom could be there.
Yeah, I think that's a little warranted, though. With as many things that have gone wrong with the basketball program, I don't think there's a question. We were all sitting there saying, well, has it happened again? Of course, we've managed to get these recruits without the $50 handshake, allegedly.
I don't know what you're talking about. I will tell you that I think the one thing you're going to see is Stanley Asumnu and Major Wingate be better players by the end of this year. I think, you know, Buzz has – both those guys were very, very highly recruited and highly rated players come out of high school. And Asumnu, he's kind of had Eric Ainge problems. You know, he's had confidence problems.
Sure.
And Wingate just learns to be more physical. But I think that's the one thing about Pearl. These guys will be better at the end of the year, and you'll be able to tell it. How many games they win? I mean, 10 or 12 maybe.
Yeah. Well, we're going to hit the basketball. We're really going to hit the recap of the Carson Newman game a little bit later. We're going to hit football when we come back from the break. And we're going to also talk about the Vandy game coming up. And this is Get Involved with Jay Hizzy and Larkin. Coming up.
Right back with you.
The dart, man. Got a dart in your neck. You're crazy. You're crazy, man. You're crazy. I like you. But you're crazy.
Here we are back with Get Involved with VolNation.com.
Larkin amusing himself on the sound machine there.
Dude, old school is like Dumb and Dumber.
That was on TV this week.
Yes, it was.
Beautiful movie.
We can pull out the TV guide if you want. Just give the rundown of the local TV shows.
We could, Frank the Tank. Classic show.
Well, this next segment here, we're going to talk about football, do a recap of the Memphis game, and then we're also going to talk about the next opponent, Vandy, the Vanderbilt Commodores.
The Commodores.
Goodness.
Vastly overrated team, if you ask me. But
what?
We'll get to that.
They can score points.
We'll get to that.
All right. Well, let's talk about the Memphis game.
All right.
Well, you got to see it on pay-per-view, so... why don't you give us, your overall, Jay Hizzy, why don't you give us your overall thoughts on the game, and we'll kind of go into a little bit more of it.
Well, I'm going to talk a little bit about a few things. I mean, the actual game, I'm sure it's been discussed to death all week. first thing that points out in my mind that I thought was funny listening to the Fulmer interview was that he mentioned he was surprised or curious if anybody would show up for the Vol Walk after the way they were playing. So he was pleasantly surprised that they had a nice turnout for the Vol Walk.
Yeah, I enjoy Phil Fulmer playing the martyr role.
He gave a big thank you to the fans. So
yeah, hey.
The other thing that was interesting was the whole D'Angelo Williams not playing and Tommy West comments in the paper.
Yeah, I don't want to play, Coach. Why don't you just bring me off the bench, even though I'm one of the top running backs in the nation. No, I'll just stay on the bench right now. I don't get that.
You don't know. Tommy West rescinded on his comments a little bit today, but he had mentioned yesterday that D'Angelo Williams wanted to come off the bench.
Well, was that Tommy West or D'Angelo's agent?
What's that?
Rescinding the comments.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, thanks. That was...
Anyway, he made a comment to the effect of, if you're not starting, you're not playing. We need real men in this game, so...
Yeah, real men. Of course, the rumor circulating is they didn't want to ruin his per-game average and his per yards per carry. But you know what? They were playing Tennessee.
Well, and Jason Hall's comments don't help either. He's like, a lot of guys, have to protect their futures and their, shot in the NFL.
Yeah, that's right in line with Meacham's comments. Every drop pass is taking money, food out of my mama's mouth. Yeah, that's the athlete that you have today.
My comments on the actual game, obviously we talked a little bit about Ainge.
The comeback. This is a huge comeback win for Tennessee.
It is. It was one of those. It was like 13-0 before we even knew what was happening. Ainge had, two picks for all intents and purposes. And once again, here comes Clausen to save the day.
Yeah, Clausen, I tell you what, Ainge is just... But he only threw three passes. So if you just look at the stats, you're like, did he get jerked too early? I mean, really?
You didn't see the game, so no.
Well, if we had two or three series with him, why are we still only throwing three passes?
Well, you got to enter. Some of those series ended in interception. At least one did.
Okay.
So I don't know. I mean, we were obviously trying to establish a run. He just looked lost out there. It was evident that he wasn't just misreading passes. He was lost. I mean,
yeah.
They were really bad throws, but Clausen comes in. Really, that drive got started with the Hefney punt return. Gave us a little momentum. Clausen came in and really engineered two scoring drives.
Well, the last one was 95 yards.
Yeah, 96 yards, I believe it was.
Yeah, 96. Excuse me.
And I think less than 2 minutes. That's really the question is, why in the world don't we come out and run the two-minute offense? Clausen seems right at best. I mean, some of his best possessions have been in the second half of the LSU game.
Yeah, that's about the only possessions we've had all year.
Yeah, I mean, his best ones have been when we're lining up and need to score quickly. I don't know why we don't run the hurry up in the course of a normal game and see how he does.
I don't get it either. I don't get why we don't just – yeah, exactly.
Wasn't it Miami's quarterback that they'd put him under center and he'd play like crap the whole game? Then they'd be down three scores. They'd put in the shotgun and he was throwing it all over the field and throwing touchdowns.
Did I also not hear that Randy Sanders called a good game?
Yeah, he's still calling plays.
Excuse me. Was he not supposed to do that for the rest of the year?
I don't know. He is. At least he's still calling the pass plays, according to Coach Fulmer. So.
Oh, okay. I see. Well, so really, has any change been made? No. You don't really expect it to, but I guess you can't go in the tank any more than you are. But you know what? That was a poor Memphis team. It was a poor Memphis team.
It was. And, talking about play calling, I look back to the fourth down call by Coach Fulmer. That's a big call in that football game.
Mm-hmm.
We've got the ball on the Memphis 45. It's fourth and inches. Four or five minutes to go in the game. If we don't make that,
yep,
we're in big trouble. They got a field goal kicker who can hit 50-yarders.
There hasn't been too many games where we have just – I guess the only game was the Ole Miss game where we actually were comfortable in a lead where we didn't think that we were going to get beaten in the last quarter. But, there is one bright spot, and that would be Arian Foster. Guy had over 120-something yards?
He did. What's that, three straight 100-yard games, first guy since Chuck Webb?
Is that true?
And it's three starts. I believe I read that.
How about that? Well, the guy, if you watch the guy run, he's a stand-up runner, but he's slick.
Deceptive.
He's deceptive. It just doesn't seem like he would be able to get those yards, but he runs hard. And I look forward to seeing him play next year.
He's got an outside shot to get 1,000 yards.
Hey,
I believe he's got 550 yards, or he's got around 500, give or take. And he's got three games left if we go to a bowl game.
Okay, yeah, if big if.
No, not really.
That means that he would have to average what?
About 155 yards a game.
No way.
We're playing Vanderbilt, Kentucky. Their defenses are terrible.
After the season over, we'll revisit that.
You can save that clip. Go ahead and write that down in your little notepad there.
I'm putting a little mark on that clip there. Thank you there, Jay-Hizzy. All right. Yeah, there you go. There's the Memphis game. I mean, what else can you say about it? I mean, it was...
Not a whole lot. It's been covered. I mean, the thing I can look at is turnovers and special teams didn't kill us. For a change.
Special teams didn't kill us. We actually did a little bit better. But you know what I also noticed about that? Lucas Taylor wasn't doing it.
No, it was happening. He had the one good return, but he also had the return to where he caught the ball inside the 10. Fair caught it. Never should have done that.
Yeah, that was pretty stupid.
It was.
Yeah, that all goes back to discipline and coaching.
And you got to give another shout-out to Josh Briscoe, catching a big ball.
Sure.
We're not used to seeing our receivers do that this year. So.
No, not at all. In fact, when we're going to kind of segue over into the Vandy game, and I thought it was a good thing, Vandy's been scoring some points lately. When was the last time one receiver for Vandy had more touchdowns than the entire receiving corps for the University of Tennessee? I would say never. I would say never. Never has happened.
I'm sure it probably hasn't.
And that's true right now. You've got a Vanderbilt Commodore offense that is just blowing the doors off. I mean, they scored 42 points against Florida. This is a team that is just, they're scoring points, and of course it is Vandy. They don't stop a whole lot of people, but you're looking at some receivers that have caught 709 yards, 619 yards, 381 yards. You go back to Tennessee statistics, we can't even touch that. So,
we don't have a quarterback and don't have any receivers.
And that's Vandy. I mean, we're not talking about South Carolina. We're not talking about Florida.
Vandy, the most overrated team in college football.
Okay, Hizzy, why do you say they're overrated?
Without looking at your show notes, what's Vandy's record?
Oh, they're 4-5.
They are. They're,
No, I'm sorry. They're 4-6.
4-6. They're 4-6.
They're 4-6.
They won their first four games. Impressed a few people. They've lost six in a row. Six-game losing streak starting with a loss to MTSU.
Yeah, they are overrated.
I mean, they're better than the doormat that they usually are, but they're 4-6. They've lost six in a row. They haven't beat anybody. I mean, they always have a game they almost win. This year, that was Florida, and for some reason, they've been anointed King of the East because they almost beat Florida.
Yeah, that's a good point.
So, Jay Cutler's a great quarterback. I give him credit. He was only sacked one time against Florida, and I was impressed by that. They got pressure on him. He was able to avoid the pressure and throw the ball down the field. He's a nice quarterback. He leads the SEC in passing yards and total offense, but guess what?
What?
He's eighth in pass efficiency. One notch behind?
Rick Clawson.
Yes. So, solid Vanderbilt team, better than most years probably, but... not nearly anything to get as excited about as everybody is. I mean, everybody's, Vanderbilt's going to beat us, and they're great. I mean, they're 4-6. So, I don't know what all the excitement is about Vanderbilt. It's a typical Tennessee Vanderbilt game.
Gotcha. And I don't think, I don't think Tennessee's going to win this game on Saturday. I really don't.
You're going on record to the entire Vol Nation saying that we're going to lose to Vanderbilt in our maiden voyage of our podcast show.
Yeah, unfortunately, I think we're going to end up losing this game. And the reason why is because Tennessee can't score points, and Vandy can.
We can score points. Who's your starting quarterback going to be?
Rick Clawson. Okay. Now, let me remind you that we still only scored two touchdowns against a very poor Memphis defense. All of that was in the first half. So in the second half, all we scored was two field goals. Correct?
Correct.
All right. So where's your offense? Where's your offense coming from?
Well, you're gonna have a game plan designed for Rick Clawson to throw to the backs. You're gonna see Corey Anderson. I guarantee it. You're gonna see the fullback.
He had the whole game against Memphis. He had the whole game except for three series.
Practice. Who do you think got all the reps this past week? Clawson? He came in. He hasn't thrown a ball probably in a week. I mean, he's gotten the second team reps.
On,
he got the second team reps in practice.
Come on.
But you can see the guy was, he comes in the ball and it comes in the game and throws balls over people's heads. I mean,
what are you saying? Our first team receivers are better than our second team receivers?
He's going to, huh?
You saying our first team receivers are better than our second team?
I don't know what that means.
Exactly. I mean, who is he throwing to? He's throwing to Josh Briscoe, Austin Rodgers. I mean, you could almost say that those guys are as good, if not better, and have produced more than Chris Hannon and Robert Meacham.
We're going to put some points on the board. We'll probably score somewhere in the 20s this week.
Okay.
Well, Foster has a big game. Clawson's going to pass for probably 250 yards.
Listen,
and Jay Cutler is...
250 yards?
Huh?
Can
yes.
we mark that down?
Mark it down.
Okay,
Clawson's going to pass for two. How many do you have this week? Have you got the stats there?
How many do you have this past week?
17 of 24 for a couple hundred yards and two touchdowns.
Okay. Well, hey.
You know, he'll throw for 250. We'll rush for 175. You know, and the defense is tired of hearing about Jay Cutler. Chavis and his staff are up for the challenge. They're not going to want to listen to all this crap about Cutler and a 4-6 team. You know, how they're going to come in here and beat us and all this nonsense. I mean.
Yeah, Rick Clawson was 14 of 24 for 209 yards. I remember.
Two touchdowns, no picks.
No picks, okay. 8.7 yards per throw. Listen, that you think that's impressed me. Now, I call that we lose the game on Saturday.
Okay?
All right, but I will say this. That doesn't mean I want us to lose on Saturday. I want us to win. I want us to get to the Music City Bowl just as much as everybody else.
Well, you know what? You just go out and buy your Vanderbilt shirt this week and wear it around with pride.
I knew that I was going to hear that. Maybe I can start up a VandyRules.com website. How about that, huh?
Yeah, you and the other Vandy fan out there?
Yeah, that's right.
Anyway, you know, what else can you say about that game? I don't you know, two different opinions. Do you think we're going to lose? I think Vanderbilt's vastly overrated.
Here's what you can say. The line is Vandy and the points. How many points there, Jay Hizzy?
It's 13.
13 points.
Yeah, I don't think we'll win by that, but we'll win the game by 8, 9, 10 points.
I think it was even funnier on the Memphis game when the line was plus 19.5 to start off with. We don't even average 19.5 points per game. So, I mean, maybe they were thinking that, in fact, we averaged 17 points. So maybe Vegas thought that the game score was going to be 17 to minus 2.
Well, and they forget we always play Memphis. If you base it solely on how good each team is, we should have won by 3 touchdowns, even with our stagnant offense. But
we've been saying that all year, Hesse. I am tired of that mantra. Hell, we're 9 plays away from being perfect.
See? We are. And South Carolina's 1 play away from going to Atlanta.
That's a good point. South Carolina makes me want to vomit. Just seeing that guy on the sidelines. I don't even want to say his name. Just don't even mention his name.
Buddy, I'm telling you, the SEC East has become...
horrible.
Brutal.
It's horrible. But you know Georgia's going to go to the game. I mean, they're going to the SEC Championship. So I'm hoping that LSU wins out and then stomps a mud hole in Georgia and be done with it. I'm kind of numb to it. I don't know about you.
I don't know. It's crazy, fans. Georgia is... you know, their fans aren't even happy right now after that loss to Auburn. And that was a great game. What can you say about – you can't really fault either team for that loss. I mean, it was going to come down to the end regardless. Nice
yeah.
game. Of course, that fumble in the end zone, if that's us, it goes out of the end zone, we get a touchback and lose the game. So that's just one of those examples of getting the breaks versus not getting the breaks. Eventually the breaks will come back to us, but we will not lose to Vandy in Neyland Stadium on a day that they're retiring Doug Adkins' jersey.
Oh, geez.
That'd be almost as bad as losing to Steve Spurrier the day we retired Peyton Manning's jersey.
How about South Carolina debuting at 19 and 21?
Yeah, they're actually like 22 or 23 in the BCS that came out today.
Yuck. On this break coming up, I'm going to just go to the bathroom and get sick.
Thanks for sharing that with us.
You're welcome.
VolNation.com. We'll be right back.
Get involved. Are we back?
We are.
All right, get involved.
Much to the dismay of some of you, we are back. And on that subject, I thought that it might be a good time to do a little research online and do some other podcasts and kind of think, how does ours rate? How does ours compare?
Yeah, you know, we wanted to go out there and find another guy that was doing a similar show, you know, with Vol Nation, you know, or volunteer-oriented material. And I think Hizzle found... found a guy. What's his name?
This podcast is called Big Orange Michael.
Nice.
And nice. Managed to stumble across it. His description is Big Orange Michael, Tennessee football, John Wayne, the high and the mighty.
No way.
So we're just going to give you guys something to compare with. You may say that, you know, this Big Orange Michael guy, you may need to start listening to his podcast and blow us off. But we're going to let you guys do some comparison and see. So you'll kind of know what we're up against, you know, what our competition is.
So if we don't get any downloads, we may end up, we may let this guy fill in our spot.
We may. So here it goes, Big Orange Michael.
Issue number 1/2 or number 0, and it's supposed to be super ultra collectible. So I guess what I'm saying is you can keep this podcast on your computer as number 0, and it will be super highly collectible, and someday worth at least a nickel. I'm saying at least a nickel. I don't know. I can't really predict these things, but I'm saying you could be have some...
React. That would be podcast zero there, Hizzle. I just wanted to make a point there.
Well, it makes it a collector's item. It's like comic books he's talking about.
No. Super highly collectible.
Okay.
Okay, keep going.
...thing here that is priceless and beyond value. I don't believe any of that, but I just thought it'd be fun to say. You're probably wondering, what will this podcast be about? I don't know. I haven't decided yet. I'm still in the formative stages, probably influenced...
Yeah, we don't know either there, Big Orange Mike. Keep going.
Are you going to keep interrupting me like that?
Tennessee football.
Yeah.
I'd like to have a bumper
you can just talk
and some
over
music
the guy if you
or
want.
Some sarcastic
oh, really?
Quotes from TV shows to put in here. But right now, I'm just playing with the software and figuring out what I can do with it and using my new microphone and
new
then seeing
microphone.
If anybody actually downloads it.
Okay, now that was podcast zero for Big Orange Michael.
Yes.
All right. Now, he actually has another broadcast he did after that.
Hello
there was so
there,
much interest.
Welcome to the Big Orange
Here's
Michael
the second
podcast
one.
Number one. Or, actually, I don't know how to tell you all this. I changed the name of the podcast. Luckily, we've only done number zero.
Luckily.
So, I'm changing the name of the podcast to I'm Just Like You.
I'm Just Like You is the new name of the Big Orange Michael podcast.
This is the first edition.
No, wait a minute. I talked over
it. It's going to be the same thing. It's going to be me.
It's I'm Just Like You, but I have a podcast.
Going on and chatting with you for a few minutes in live real time so you can hear my voice. So, what's interesting and exciting to me this week? Well,
I can't wait to hear.
That I was going to talk about Battlestar Galactica. And
huh?
I loved this week's episode, and I am counting down hours until the next episode.
All right, that's all I can handle.
Yeah,
So there's a little bit of a tidbit from another Vol fan who has his own podcast.
We actually refer to volunteer sports
right.
On our show.
Well, we haven't gotten into the Battlestar Galactica yet, but...
That's right, and that's actually in our next segment. We're going to get into Battlestar Galactica and also Doctor Who, which Big Orange Mike is going to contribute to the Doctor Who show.
Yeah, if there's enough interest out there, we might be able to track this guy down and get him on the show.
And I actually think he'd be a huge contributor to the show.
Yeah, we're going to let you guys vote on that. That can be one of our first polls that we address.
Oh, yeah, another poll. There
another
we go.
Poll. We can start some more. We'll have five polls about the Vol Nation podcast.
That's right. Okay.
So anyway, just kind of wanted to give you guys something to think about out there, and
Doesn't anyone notice this? I feel like I'm taking crazy pills.
That's what I thought about that podcast. Well, let's talk about.
It's probably 5 or 6 minutes long. We could have a clip from that each week. Actually, they're about 22 minutes long, each one of those. So
each one, how many are?
You know what? I'm probably gonna be getting emails from this guy now. If he knew my email address.
Bring it on, there, Big Orange Mike. Bring it on.
It's beautiful. So,
How about let's get a little bit of Vol basketball in. What you think?
About Vol basketball or about if we should bring it in?
Both.
Carson Newman game?
Hey.
Well, I mean, what are you going to talk about? Carson Newman game. Tennessee won. Big game. Scored a lot of points. Ran up down the floor. Stanley Asumu led the way with 19. Carson Newman's a Division II school who probably won't have a winning record this year.
Dude, there was a guy on Carson Newman's number 21. His head.
John Winchester.
It was John Winchester. Like, it was so huge.
He's so freaky.
I thought the guy was going to fall over. It was like a Weeble. Well, no, it wasn't a Weeble Wobble.
Yeah,
they were kind of fat at the bottom,
somebody posted
right?
about that on Vol Nation. I forget who it was.
Dude,
but.
That guy's head was so big.
Yeah.
And he actually could shoot. Guy drained a few 3 points. They did score 76 points.
I don't know. They sucked. I mean, they'll have a losing record in Division II, so it's nothing to get excited about. It was a nice game to watch. You know, guys are learning the system. You know, scoring was spread around nice and evenly. And we got to see Ben Bosey again.
And?
Your and I's everybody's favorite player, Jordan Howell, a.k.a. Screech himself, got some PT.
Dude has got a haircut from the mid to late 90s. What is that?
He's got a muffin, no question. But... He, on a more serious note, he must really not be getting it done in practice because he didn't see any action in the first game and it was real limited. He actually, I think, was got less playing time than a walk-on 5'11 senior point guard Eddie Bell Biv DeBrow.
DeBrow got 3 minutes and Jordan Howell actually got 8. So you would be incorrect on
well.
That. I tell you what, also, Howell needs to mix in a hamburger every now and then. That dude is skinny.
Yeah, it's... You know, between... Hal's not skinny compared to Ben Bosse. That kid is... That kid's straight out of the 70s show. I don't know. One or the other.
Well, let's. Speaking of.
He played at Farragut.
You made a point about spreading the scoring around. They actually did. You know, there's a lot of guys in double figures. I mean, if you think about it, we had, total points. 19, 11, 13, 15, 10, 17. I mean, you're looking at guys, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 players in double digits. With the Sumnu, the guy who can't hit the broadside of a barn with a melon, he actually ended up having 17 points.
No turnovers.
I'm sorry.
20 minutes.
Excuse me. 19 points.
No turnovers.
No turnovers. Here's a guy that could dribble a ball off of his foot.
Mm-hmm.
Now what, 5-6 times a game?
Stanley's going to have a good year. I'm pulling for Stanley this year. I really am. Him and Wingate, I think those two guys need to step up. If they do, we might have a chance to go 500.
Yeah, if you guys caught that game against Carson Newman on CBS Friday night, it was one heck of a game.
CBS? Is that a joke?
Well,
we're the cricket chirps for that one.
I'm sorry. Here we go. I got the cricket chirps right here. Hey.
I'm not even sure if that was supposed to be humorous or you're just uninformed.
No, I was trying to be humorous. Okay. That didn't work out. Dane Bradshaw, I think he and Screech, that they went to the same barber because he looks like, whatever. Dane Bradshaw, ladies and gentlemen.
Dane Bradshaw plays hard. I mean, you know, he's just not an SEC caliber recruit. He plays hard. He's worked out. He's gotten stronger. He's going to give 110%. He's got a little basketball, you know, skills in him, but he's just not an SEC caliber player. He works hard. You know, he'll be a role player in Pearl's system.
Well, look across the court. There's muscles out there that weren't there last year.
They are. They've worked. That was the first thing Pearl did when he got here. And I tell you what, though, you know, switching subjects a little bit, but Andre Patterson made a huge difference in the four. He looked great.
He had a dunk that was just incredible.
And, of course, he's going against 6'5 guys down in the post. But, man, he really looked good around the basket.
I guess one of the things that I'm more excited about, I mean, and don't get me wrong, we're not going to be a great team this year. I mean, we may sneak up and bite some teams here and there, but I saw more plays run against Carson Newman than we ran in the last 10 games last year. So I really think it's a bright spot where we actually are running plays. I mean, how do you think Princeton and, you know, those guys that do the backdoor cuts, they get to the NCAA tournament, they win those games, and you're like, how in the hell did they win against top-tier teams in the NCAA tournament? It's because they run plays, they got good work ethic, they run hard.
And they don't hire people like Buzz Peterson.
Exactly. Speaking of Buzz Peterson, a little backhanded comment or two in the on the sidelines of Coastal Carolina. What a joke. He needs to be thrown in jail because he basically stole money from the University of Tennessee for how many years? Was he here for 4 or 5?
3.
I'm numb to it all.
3. This was his first class, right? Assume New and Watson and all those guys that are seniors now was his first class. 3 years?
4.
4 years.
Yeah.
He was here 4 years. You're right.
Wow.
I didn't want him to get a 5th, but
I don't think anybody did.
Well, the whole thing that makes that situation starting to get people like Jerry Green and Buzz Peterson who, you know, leave here and badmouth you for the next several years. It's always unfortunate, but
well, Jerry Green a lot less than Peterson.
You know, Buzz Peterson making comments about the loudness of the arena.
I mean, Green, let me tell you, Green had something to complain about. 420s. Took us to the Sweet 16, you know, almost to the Elite Eight. Let me tell you.
Well,
Peterson didn't even get us to the NIT.
No. Definitely, if you had to pick between the two, I don't think Buzz was probably not as good of a coach as Jerry Green. I don't think Jerry Green was great. There was a lot of problems there.
And I think Green could drink Peterson under the table, too.
Probably.
Yeah.
Probably could.
All right, back to the game.
Which one? Basketball?
No.
Football?
No.
You're hopping on me. Hockey?
No.
Tennis? Ping pong?
Ice bears?
Synchronized swimming?
No, back to the basketball game. What are some other things that stood out for you? How about the press? Everybody's talking about the press, the Bruce Pearl press.
Yeah, the press has got a long way to go.
Yes.
I think and I think they mix it up a little this time. It was more of a press challenge the inbounds and then fall back on defense, whereas it seems like it was more full court against Southern Indiana. But
yeah, well, let me tell you, some of those guys looked lost. I noticed a few times players were out of position, not really knowing what to do. I think in that second and third line of defense on the press, I think they're still a little lost.
It's not the second or third line. It's that once you get past those up front three guys, they got a 3 or 4-on-2 fast break going. I think,
right.
You know, that press may get you a few buckets against a Southern Indiana or a Carson Newman, but playing big-time SEC competition, the press is not going to help us the way we're playing it right now. It's going to cost us more points than it's going to get us, I believe, at this point.
Yeah, but you know what? You get a good few recruits in here. You got guys that can actually play. They start in the system. You start getting the results out of it.
We
got some turnovers. We got some turnovers.
We do, and I think if you're Bruce Pearl, you've got your system. You know your system. You're going to stick with your system, even if it means you lose a game or two by 40, which is possible against a good running team. We're not going to slow the game down and milk the clock a whole lot. So he's going to stick with the system. Unlike Buzz Peterson, who would change his system 3 or 4 times a year, he's going to stick with it, I think, this year. So.
Well, we got scoring-wise, let's just hope Juwan Smith isn't our go-to guy for scoring this year.
Juwan Smith needs to work on his shot a little bit. He hustles. He plays hard. He just
needs to work on his shot.
He needs to work on his shot a little
bit. Just a little bit?
He hit a few shots. He missed a few, but,
He missed.
It's only been a couple of games.
He missed 66% of his shots.
Well, it's only been a couple of games. He'll,
No, I'm sorry.
He may get it together.
Yeah, he missed 66% of his shots. C.J. Watson.
That means he made 33%. So, if all those were three-pointers, that's 50% from two-point land.
Yeah, he was 2 of 8 from – so he was 25% from 3 points. So there you go. Let's see.
He's a streak shooter. He's either 2 of 8 or he's, 7 of 8.
Yeah. Lofton looked pretty good. He didn't play a whole lot.
Well, I don't think he pressed it. If you ask me, I think Pearl probably wanted to see what some other guys could do. Watson and Lofton came out in that first game when they needed to score and were in a dogfight and led the way. And I think they were more trying to get their teammates involved and let some other people get some time to see what they could do.
Yeah, nobody played over 30 minutes. In fact, the most was Juwan Smith actually played. No, I'm sorry. Chris Lofton played the most. Yeah, 27 minutes.
Straight.
Yeah, I guess so. Hard to read these small box scores.
And it's going to be hard. It's going to, it'll be interesting to see how his rotation is once we get into the SEC. But I have a feeling a lot of guys are going to be getting 35 minutes.
Yeah. Well, part of the thing is that if you look at this team, we're thin. Number one, we don't have a big man. In fact, we need Damian A. Cup Harris to play this year, in my opinion.
Have you seen him play?
Yeah,
we would have to run the Don DeVoe offense. I mean, we would have to go to four corners to wait for Damian Harris to get back down the floor. He's just not ready yet. He's not in that greatest shape. I mean, he's made some great strides and he may very well contribute to this program.
Can he foul?
He's not ready.
Can he foul?
He can't foul when he can't get up and down the floor.
Huh? Can he foul?
Not when he's 10 feet behind trailing his man, no.
Well, I mean, you can pretty much just clear out the whole lane, just leave your arms out and just run right through them.
The style of basketball he's playing is not that we're playing is not. You're not going to see a whole lot of Damian Harris this year, I don't think.
Well, he's going to get redshirted if he doesn't play.
Well, Perry wants a redshirt, and whether or not he's going to be able to do that, we'll see.
Well, I don't think he's going to have a choice. We don't have any big men bangers. Major Wingate's soft.
He'll be tough.
Eh, he's soft.
He is soft, but
okay. You get in and start banging with the guys like Alabama, Kentucky. They'll eat our lunch. Of course, maybe that's the sacrifice that you make this year. Maybe that's what you determine is we're going to hold them back until next year, and that's when we're going to take our lunch this year, get our system in place, get the press in place, get some guys in key roles, and then move forward from there. What do you think about that? You think that's Pearl's ideology?
Well, you're going to have some strengths and some weaknesses on this team. You're going to get beat for people who have big bangers inside, but hopefully maybe we can outrun them. Or, Pearl's got a nice way on offense of spreading the floor out, and getting cuts to the basket and being able to get the ball to the big men inside because he's spaced out well. In Buzz Peterson's offense, everybody's all clumped together, and you'd get the ball to the big man, and he'd have three people around him. So I think Pearl's – one of the things I noticed in the Carson Newman game, Tennessee spacing – on offense,
yes,
was much, much better.
They weren't all standing around either, I noticed.
No, they're running their cuts. So, we'll win some games this year. I know I was listening to Jimmy Hyams. I don't know how he's pronouncing it now. He changed the pronunciation. But, I think he thinks top maximum production for this team is probably 14 wins.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not sure we get to that. I haven't really analyzed the schedule a whole lot yet. But,
well, 14 wins, that wouldn't be too bad, I guess. 14 wins. If we could get to the NIT, that'd be great. That'd be great for this team.
Be just peachy.
It'd be better than what we've done over the last 4 years.
It would be.
A couple other things that, you know, at the basketball game, and not necessarily basketball related. What is up with long basketball shorts these days? You're watching some of those guys, especially the 6 foot tall guys. The shorts are coming within 3 inches of the top of their sneakers. I don't get it.
Did you just wake up from a 10-year nap?
No. I mean, I'm not saying let's go back to the Detroit Pistons, cash and prizes huggers. But, it almost looks like they're wearing a dress out there. Okay, thanks for the reaction there.
Nothing new. I mean, that's been going on for years. I don't know. I think you just walked out of a cave or something.
I also wonder if there was a piece of poop on one of those shirts that they knock out into the stands. You think people, the greedy basketball fans, I have never seen anything like it.
Well, we realized this past week that people don't actually go to watch the basketball team play. They just go in hopes that they'll catch a shirt or one of those basketballs that they throw out there.
I especially like it when the girls are on the the thing that catapults the shirts out, not the gun, but the other thing, the slingshot.
The slingshot.
Thank God. The slingshot. They never get the thing past five rows up.
No, it's bad. And then the guys with the gun shoot them into the upper deck, so.
You would think with UT's athletic budget and the fact that we probably have some decent marketing minds, they haven't changed anything in the presentation of that basketball program.
Well, perhaps a little bit. The students under the goal at the step.
They're still using the blimp. They're still shooting the T-shirts out. How about the athletic department start distributing some of those orange T-shirts to fans in general? Of course, I know they're not going to do that for the exhibition game, but like Michigan State or a Duke or North Carolina, where they're actually making it an environment.
Well,
I think that's going to happen.
No, but it will happen. I mean, it's going to be a gradual thing. You don't just suddenly become a great basketball program with tradition. I mean, you got to build it. You got to win a few games. And
I want it tomorrow.
Get more and more people, and they do more and more things. But I think the lady sitting behind me at the game summed up best how most fans feel.
That gal. She was all over the ref. In fact, I can't even emulate her voice, lest I.
Well, and she was upset because, by golly, she had paid $5 for her general admission exhibition ticket, and she was upset because they weren't throwing out any more free basketballs than they did.
Yeah, that's. That was the other thing. They actually threw basketballs out into the crowd. And how many people do you think were there?
I don't know.
Maybe 5,000-6,000.
I don't know.
Yeah, maybe.
I never saw official attendance. I never saw it.
Can you say I don't know one more time?
I don't know.
Okay. They were throwing out those basketballs. I think they maybe threw 10 basketballs out.
Something like that. 10 or 15 maybe.
How about, throwing about 50 out? You know, I mean, they've all got sponsorships name on them. I mean, I'm sure Bob Goodfriend in the stands the other night, I think.
Name dropper.
Cha-ching. I think he could throw a few bones in there for a few free basketballs, but I don't know. Good point.
Can you say I don't know again?
Yeah, I don't know.
All right, guys, we'll be back with you in just a minute. VolNation.com broadcast. Get involved.
Quality time, sweetheart.
We're back. Get involved with Vol Nation.
Larkin and Jay Hizzy.
You got it. This is our number one program of the 2005 year. We're going to try to do this every week. And
this may be one of one.
It may be. It may be. We actually, once we get a few downloads, we're going to leave the thread up on volnation.com. So if you guys can give us a little feedback, we really appreciate it. And don't be too harsh on us.
Well, give us your thoughts. We're going to try to maybe look into doing some live streaming, maybe take some questions and comments from a chat that we set up. Don't have any equipment at this point to actually take phone calls, but we may try to get some live chat going and do the show live.
Man, you are one pathetic loser.
That's what they tell me, but anyway. Last and final segment. For those of you, the two of you who are still listening,
yeah,
it's the final segment.
The final, hopefully not the last. All right.
It may be. Tell me something.
What's that?
Eric Ainge, is he done for the year?
I don't think so. I think we'll see him play again. I don't think we're going to see him play a whole lot. But you're going to have to put the guy in. You're going to have to let him play because we can't not let that guy get reps. I mean, he's going to be our quarterback starting off until someone can unseat him next year. So the more reps he gets, the better off he is.
I'm going to have to disagree.
You don't think he's going to play again?
No, I don't think so.
I think unless
Clausen gets hurt or falls apart, or we're in big, big trouble, you know, even so, I don't think Ainge plays again, and I don't think he should. I think it's obvious that Fulmer has tried to get him to play through this mess, and I think that the more he plays, the more his confidence gets shot, the worse he does. I think at this point in time, you set him down, you play Clausen, and you hope that Cutcliffe or whoever is our new coach can come in and save him next year. I think he sits back. I think he try to just learn the offense, look back, and just wait till next year. I don't think you need Sanders or whoever telling him one thing now that, you know, whatever he's learning now is going to change in a few weeks when the new coordinator comes in. I think you sit him down and try to save him in the offseason.
I don't agree. I think if you don't put him in, you're doing a disservice to next year, especially considering, like I said earlier, what do you got? Crompton, you've got Billy Bob Joe, whatever the hell his name is.
Tell you something.
Jim Bob Cooter.
If Ainge plays against Vanderbilt, your prediction of losing that game might come true. That's the only way we lose that game.
How much is Bo Hardegrea kick in the ass?
Well, he's a double kick in the ass since
Dan Brooks is gone.
Well, Dan?
Is it Daniel Brooks?
Yeah. That was a package deal. I mean, don't you think?
Yeah, absolutely.
And since, you know, you lose Brooks and then you're stuck with Hardegrea, which, you know, he's a good kid, I hear. You know, I think he's a smart kid, good grades. But I just don't think he's got the talent to play on this level.
No, not at all.
Doesn't have the arm strength.
We'll just hope that next year Crompton comes in and gives him a little bit of competition, at least. I don't see us starting another freshman next year. I mean, what do you think? You think anybody coming in next year? I mean, we haven't recruited any big quarterbacks this year. I mean, is anybody giving us a look?
No, but we were recruiting the junior class. I mean, when the season started, Fulmer thought Eric Ainge was the next Peyton Manning. You know, so I don't think we're recruiting for next year. The only thing I've heard, you know, is a kid, Isaiah Williams. I think he was supposedly going to Illinois, but maybe get a visit out of him. But I think for the most part, probably Ainge and Crompton's going to be it. Can Crompton come in and play as a true freshman? I don't know. But unless Ainge improves drastically, I don't know that you're going to have much choice.
Well, I think you'll see him play. I think you'll see Crompton play next year. Maybe a good bit. Maybe he comes in and is the guy that saves this program.
He might be Larkin, but I don't know. You know, I think he's definitely going to have to play. I just don't think, unless the miraculous happens and Coach Cutcliffe can come in here, assuming he's the offensive coordinator, and really work with Ainge and get him back on track. I don't think. You know, I heard one of the sports talk shows this week talking about that. Do you ever remember a quarterback who actually got worse between their freshman and sophomore seasons, as much to the extent that Ainge has?
No. No, I don't.
I mean, I don't think it's not very common. He's got major problems.
Especially considering last year, Ainge beat Alabama, he beat Florida, and he beat Georgia. And we didn't win any of those games this year. But, you know, a huge drop-off. I think it's a shame that they did that.
Well, I think everybody, including myself, and all the Ainge-Clausen threads we've seen on Vol Nation, I think that we all projected what we thought Ainge was capable of, you know, on to want him to play and want him to lead us to victory, but he's not shown it. He didn't win the job in practice. He hasn't won the job on the field.
Nope.
And I think that's where, I've listened to some people from the program. I think that's where he messed up. I think that Fulmer, in fact, wanted Ainge to be his quarterback all along, opened up practice saying that the quarterback job is wide open. Clausen won the job, and I think that there was a lot of dissension because even though Clausen won the job, Ainge, you know, was named the starter and has got as much playing time as he has, and he doesn't deserve it.
Yeah, I tell you what, and if Clausen ends up playing the rest of the year and Ainge doesn't get a sniff, I tell you what, that's the last I want to hear of that, the Clausen family. I don't really care for Jimmy Clausen to be here. I want that whole era to be gone. Because I don't – The Clawson family has not produced anything but a couple of sniffs in an SEC championship game.
Well, and I disagree. I think Casey Clawson was a decent quarterback. I mean, you know, on an A to F scale, give him a B. I think Clawson gets a bad rap. He loves the university. He played hard here. He won a lot of games. He was good on the road. He had a good record. You know, a couple of seasons there he didn't have a lot to work with. But, and Rick Clawson, what can you ask from the guy? He's a transfer from LSU. He's put up with all the crap he's been through this year, starter, not the starter, playing, not playing. You know, and all he does is what? Get us two of our four victories that, you know. I mean, the LSU game was all him. Memphis game was all him.
Yep.
You know, I don't see how you can say anything bad about the kid.
Well, you know, there again, we'll see. We'll see if Clawson ends up playing the rest of the games out, and if Ainge even gets a sniff, who's to say? I mean, that's obviously Fulmer's call. Well, let's see. We've got a game coming up on Friday. Of course, basketball season kicks off Friday night against ETSU. Let's see, the East Tennessee State, they've got a pretty good point guard, if I'm not mistaken. What's the guy's name? Williams?
Tim Smith.
Oh, yeah, Tim Smith.
Tim Smith. Good quick guard. It'll be interesting to see how our press holds up against a quick ball-handling point guard like Tim Smith. The guy's going to run the floor quick, get the ball down the floor, and
he's a scorer, too. He averaged 22 points per game, a little bit better than 22 points a game last year. You got a true freshman starting for East Tennessee. East Tennessee State, they have a senior-laden team. Of course, here we are. We've got starting five: Stanley Asumnu, Bradshaw, Wingate, Lofton, and Watson.
Be interesting to see if Bradshaw actually gets the start against ETSU.
Who do you think should get it?
Well, Patterson, ideally. Depends on how Pearl's going to play those two guys. Is he going to play his two big men at once, or he may be planning on... saw an article in the News Sentinel where, you know, Patterson, maybe he's going to be the backup center, and they're going to rotate those two guys in and out. But
well, in the... when Patterson is in the game, he is one of the best players, if not the best player besides Lofton on this team. And so I think he's going to have to put considerable minutes in this year for us to be successful. You know, hopefully he can compete with Damian Harris for that position.
Yeah.
All right, let's see. It is the regular season opener. Of course, Tennessee won a couple of Division II exhibition games. C.J. Watson probably put some points up. We got Chris Lofton is going to put some points up. We only have 10 scholarship players this season. You could...
10?
10.
Who's the 10th?
I don't know.
I think it's 9.
Yeah, but Tony Pasley?
He is sitting out this year.
Yeah, there's your 10.
Well, but he can't play, so he's not technically, you know.
Yeah, but that...
We don't have 10 eligible scholarship players because he has to sit out a year after transfer.
Well, you can almost say that Screech is not... really a scholarship player. I mean, he was granted that last year by Peterson. I think that was a mistake. Let's just hope
he's a scholarship player. I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, he was awarded a scholarship last year by Peterson.
I don't think so.
Okay. Well, then I don't know what I'm talking about.
I think he was recruited. Maybe we're both wrong. I have to get out the old basketball media guide and see. I don't think he was a walk-on that got a scholarship, if that's what you're thinking. Wasn't that Juwan Smith?
Maybe.
Maybe neither one of us knows what the hell we're talking about.
I think
about.
We're stupid.
Yeah. Let's talk some more basketball.
I am so smart. Let's see. We play 18 of our 27 regular season games in Tennessee. That's not too bad.
It's not. We need all the advantage we can get.
Yes, we do. Of course, a couple of those are against Vandy. We're small. I think we're playing a team that really doesn't have a whole lot of size either. They're 6'7", 6'9", 6'0", 6'4", but Tim Smith, 5'9".
Yeah, he's a pretty good player, though.
He's a small feller.
And while ETSU is small, they're probably the biggest team we've played to date. So
yeah, they definitely will be bigger than Carson Newman and the guy with the big head. I think we may give ETSU a shot. Scoring last year, if you look at the stats from last year, pretty similar overall. Field goal percentage, opponent defense. But then again, I mean, really, this is a totally different style of basketball from what we saw last year, and pretty much the same crew, same group of guys that are playing.
Well, let's hope it's a different style than last year.
Of course, ETSU last year, they did have a lot of turnover, so we may end up burning them a little bit in that category and end up turning those into some points. So, well, you know, we'll see how that works out.
Time will tell. We'll know a little bit more come Saturday.
Okay.
So,
you know, one of the things that we want to do on this show is kind of get, you know, once again, get involved. We're going to open up a thread, and if we can, do a little bit of feedback from you guys, and we'll start up a thread before the show starts, so we'll be responding to that. And so we do want to get on the message board, find a few things that interesting to you guys, and see what the Vol Nation has to say.
We do, and obviously Larkin here started a thread this past week announcing our little show that we're going to do, and got a few comments wanting to know when the date was, what time. So just, you know, we'll keep your suggestions coming to us. Obviously, those of you who can stomach to listen to this whole thing, let us know what kind of ideas and suggestions you may have that we could get you guys more involved and make the show more interesting.
Yeah, just a little bit of information about the show itself. Once again, we're going to be doing these shows every Monday night, 9 o'clock. We will be getting that posted onto the site later on that evening, so it'll probably be available late Monday night. Pretty much, it'll, you know, most people will be hitting it on Tuesday.
Yeah, borderline early Tuesday morning.
You know, Super Vol and a couple other guys, JMX and TJ Dapp. Those guys are getting a little interest in hearing. Of course, we have Patrick. We appreciate Patrick chiming in.
Yeah, what's the deal with the post about the newspapers stealing story ideas from the site? I wonder what prompted that post by UT Fan Till I Die.
UT Fan Till I Die? What does he think we're going to start taking?
Well, no, it thinks that it's actually props to Vol Nation, actually thinking that other newspapers and media outlets may be stealing story ideas from our site. That's the way I interpret it. Headline of the post is the newspapers stealing stories from the site? ? His post is, I think they are, so I don't know. I think it's obvious. I don't think we've got any special content. I think it's pretty much the same drivel on most of all sites.
Yeah. Well, of course, you know, as we go through some of these threads, we'll certainly have to discount the 50 polls and 50 threads on Ainge versus Clawson. You know, one of the things that that we also want to do is track some of the former Tennessee Vols in the NFL. I think you were going to give us a little bit of information about that there, Jay Hizzy.
Hopping around from topic to topic. We do. Got a few of stats from Vols that played. Obviously, Peyton Manning played, beat the Texans this week. Had about 297-yard passing. Colts won 31-17 over your Houston Texans.
I wonder how many Tennessee fans, Tennessee Vol fans, are Colts fans solely because of him.
Probably a lot.
But I tell you what, it's not hard to like the Colts.
It's not. You either love them or you hate them, I'm sure. Cedric Wilson, another yes. ex-Vol wide receiver.
Had a
we
big
need a guy
catch.
Like Cedric, you know, sure hands guy.
And just a scrapper. Goes out there and kicks DB's ass on running plays.
He did. He had three catches, roughly 50 yards in the Steelers' victory over the Browns.
Yeah, he had a couple of catches for no gains, and then he had a huge... he had a huge catch in the third quarter of the game last night against Cleveland. Not saying that that was any huge feat, but he is getting some good playing time. I'm glad he's away from San Francisco, though. That was a dead end for him, I think.
Jabril Wilson had several tackles in their loss to the Vikings.
We went
right down to the wire.
How about Al Wilson heading up a pretty solid defense for Denver?
Yeah, said Houston got about 10 carries.
Jamal Lewis did not have a very good year this year.
No, he's not. He had about 14 carries. I don't think he hit the 50-yard mark. And Colquitt, you know, got some playing time for the Chiefs. Had a few punts. I don't know that he didn't have a lot of distance, but I know a lot of those were pins inside the 20-yard line. So,
how long has Eric Parker been out of how long has he been since he's been here at Knoxville?
Been a while, so I don't know exactly.
He's having a really good year.
He is. He's having a lot better year than I thought he ever did at Tennessee. But
David Martin's up
player.
At Green Bay.
Mm-hmm. Sean Bryson's the other one I had in my notes here. He had a few carries, about 45 yards.
Travis Henry's having a huge year. Titans suck.
Yeah, I think there was a thread on Vol Nation. Who's worse, the Titans or the Vols? It's pathetic football season.
Yeah, I think it's neck and neck, and the Titans are pulling away a little bit.
It is.
Are we done?
I think we're about to wrap things up.
Well, once again, first show. Give us a shot.
This ends your November the 14th initial broadcast, VolNation.com.
If you made it to this point.
Well, you're pathetic if you listen to this whole thing.
You are one pathetic loser.
Anyway, give us some ideas, some suggestions. We'll have a little bit more material to talk about next week. Hopefully can put some comments and things on the show. Maybe we're going to do a little bit more research on how to stream this thing and do some live stuff that might be a little bit more interactive and exciting than you guys just having to listen to us talk for an hour. So
absolutely.
Give us your thoughts. We'll have a thread on the board. Post your suggestions, ideas, comments. And hopefully, if all goes well, we'll be back with you next week.
All right.
I'm Jay Hizzy.
I'm Larkin.
We'll see you next week.